مدنی مذاکرات مدنی مذاکرات مدنی مذاکرات
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wherever you are, send salat upon me, as your salat reaches me. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
My question in the court of the Amir of Al-Sunnah is that how is it to spread false rumors? Will this not be considered as a sin? Some people spread the news of a person's death, whereas that person is still alive. At times, they mention that petrol prices have gone up, whereas the prices haven't gone up, and people get worried. So how is it to do this? And my second question is, that is this also from the evils of the social media? Has fake news being spread become more common now? Or, according to your experience, has it been the case in the past as well? Please advise us in this regard.
Spreading fake news, meaning spreading rumors, is an old practice. It's been condemned in a hadith too, which also suggests it's an old practice. People would announce that I've passed away, and my funeral would be announced even way before social media came into existence. Then people would ring just to find out that I'm perfectly fine. They keep doing this. They've done this to me several times, through rumors. But alhamdulillah, Attar is steadfast due to your grace and mercy. The enemy otherwise tried his utmost to demolish me. So people keep doing these kind of things. Similarly, you also mentioned about petrol prices in your question. Again, those people spread rumors regarding petrol who would want to sell their stock and goods at a higher price. They said that the prices have gone really up. There has been inflation. Our purchase price is this much and we're selling it for this much. What can we do? We're selling it cost to cost. Lies upon lies. Unfortunately, this is a common practice. May Allah Almighty grant us all well-being. In the same way, rumors regarding terrorism, like these many people died in an open fire, these many people passed away in a bomb blast, this also does happen. This is an act of sin, an action that is haram and leads to the hellfire. My master, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahimahullah, writes that nowadays there are hundreds of such news, such rumors, that spread across and become publicized in the whole city. Then it is proven from experience that, after inquiring about it, you come to know that those news were nothing but baseless. These are called rumors, and Satan also spreads rumors. Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu states that Satan comes to people in the shape of a man and gives them the news of a fake rumor. People then leave and summon from amongst then says that I heard a person whose face I recognize, but I don't know what his name is, the man says. So you see, Satan the accursed also comes in the form of a man and spreads the fake news and then disappears. And people think that someone said this. They say that they remember the face, but not the name. Or it is also possible that Satan appears in the shape of a relative or a friend. This is also possible. Satan does ploy these kind of tactics. There is a cause of concern in this. Do not spread fake news. The seal of the prophets sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has said, this is enough for any person to be a liar, that he delivers ahead whatever he listens to. This is also quite common. I've heard about this, that it is quite common. Actually, I've heard that they didn't even do this. They turn it into a confirmed news, saying that this is true, whereas they just heard it from someone. And there's no authenticity of such kind of news and rumors. So we ought to avoid them. as this is a satanic act and a hadith condemns it severely. This subject has been discussed in a hadith of Sahih Bukhari, that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam saw the scene that a person is lying down and there's someone else standing by him holding some kind of a plier or some kind of a tool in his hand, and he would insert it inside his mouth by the inner cheeks. Slicing it, he would stretch it to the nape of the neck. Then he would come on the other side and insert it in the cheek and stretch it all the way to the nape of the neck. Then he again comes on the other side where he initially started from. That wound is recovered by now, and he inserts it again there and repeat the whole process all over again, and this would carry on. So it was humbly mentioned in the court of the Prophet that this is the punishment of the one who spreads fake rumors. So you see, people say he's passed away, this has happened, as rumors. They spread the rumors of petrol being expensive. There's been a bomb blast there, there's been shooting there. They sort of killed so many people in rumors. But after death, a person will not be able to bear its punishment. So this is also a punishment for the one who spreads fake rumor. And the narration that is mentioned in Ihya al-Ulum, which is of similar kind, in that it is mentioned that this is the punishment for the one who lies. So if a person doesn't spread fake rumors but only lies, even he should avoid this. The one spreading fake rumors is also a liar. May Allah Almighty grant us all well-being. Nowadays, social media plays a very big role, so these fake rumors spreading all around would also be because of social media. So one should make sure that he doesn't forward it ahead. Many people forward it just for the sake of entertainment. Allah! This is helping in a sin. The Quran has commanded us, تعاونوا على البر والتقوى. Help one another in the matters of good and righteousness. ولا تعاونوا على الإثم والعدوان. And do not help each other, aid each other in sin and transgression. Now whatever sinful is happening around us, may we repent from it sincerely. If anyone has done these sinful things, then he should sincerely repent from them. And wherever expiation is needed, one will need to expiate for it as well. Rights will need to be fulfilled if they are due to be fulfilled. And especially, people celebrate April Fool's Day on the 1st of April. They fool people on this day. Hence, it is referred to as the April Fool's Day. This is from foolish people anyways, and this is a non-Islamic event. This would also perhaps be penetrated amongst the Muslims, but we haven't seen it in our surroundings. Nonetheless, some modern people who are self-presumably intellectuals and highly qualified, who lose their senses a bit, it wouldn't be surprising to see if they follow this trend. Religious circle can't even think about this. Whom these worldly people consider to be foolish, whereas in reality, they themselves are the foolish people. They lie themselves, they swear. They dance on music beats and songs. They indulge in giving and taking bribes. They deal with interest. They disobey Allah and His Messenger, and they're fast asleep in their homes at the time of Fajr. But the pious person who offers salah, the one who acts upon the sunnahs of the one whose kalima they have recited, following him he keeps a beard, wears simple clothes, they deem him to be a foolish person. This is like a mirror for themselves. They see their own reflection in the mirror, who blame pious people and talk ill of them, despite being indulged in different kinds of sins and evils themselves. They say things like, these religious people have no understanding of the world. Look at the world, how advanced it has gone. We've reached the moon. So anyhow, if we stay in the religious environment of Da'wat-e-Islami, we will see the reflection of Medina in the mirror of our heart. Otherwise, if we stay in that evil environment, then you will see even good people as bad, meaning that you will keep seeing your own reflection, and the matter of grave is in addition to this. We seek refuge with Allah from the punishment of grave. May Allah Almighty enable everyone to repent. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
If in childhood someone ate any snack or something of a child who was yet not adult according to Islam's definition, and now he has realized that he shouldn't have consumed or used any of the belongings of that child, what should be done?
Now, if the child has become baligh, then in this case, one should pay the equivalent monetary amount. And if the other person forgives it, then it will be forgiven. And let's say the nabaligh child is still nabaligh, then in this case, the equivalent monetary amount should be handed over to his guardian, whatever the due amount is. And if the father himself has taken the wealth of his nabaligh son unjustly, then he should take out the equivalent monetary amount and keep it separately on behalf of his child, or he may spend it on any of the needs of his child as per needed, for example, in medication, in providing food for the child, in providing clothing, etc. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
What is the reality of using red chilies as a remedy for evil eye?
It is one of the remedies and it is permissible. You take 3 or 7 chilies and move it around yourself 7 times and then place it in a pan on a stove. If a foul smell emanates from the pan, like the smell of the chilies, which results in giving you a burning sensation and you start sneezing all of a sudden, then it means that there's no evil eye. And if nothing happened, meaning that no smell emanated then, it means that there is evil eye. So if you keep doing this again and again, the evil eye will be removed. And then the smell will start emanating. Do it once every day for 2-3 days. The evil eye will inshallah be removed. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Abdul Wahab al-Tari has sent a text message and asking a question. Imam said first takbir loudly. While going to ruku, he said takbir quietly and he went into ruku. Now in such case, what is the ruling of that particular salah? Please guide us.
Firstly, takbir-e-tahrima should be uttered correctly. The uttering of takbir-e-tahrima loudly by the imam is sunnah. And it is necessary to utter loud enough so that your own ears can hear. So if takbir-e-tahrima is uttered in this way, then the fard will be fulfilled. Now let's say, out of the takbir-e-intiqalat, meaning the takbir for ruku', the takbir for sujood, he uttered them such that his own ears could not hear it. Then in this case, his sunnah will be missed out. However, his salah will still be valid. And if it was such that he himself heard it, but the others did not hear it even then, the sunnah of making other people hear it was missed out. The salah will anyhow be valid. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
I am Waqar Qureshi and I'm calling from London. Ya Sayyidi, my question is that when it rains, there is also lightning at times. Some people say that a maternal uncle and maternal nephew should not stand together at the same place on a roof, because in this case, lightning can strike either of them. Please guide us in this regard, if there is any truth in this. May Allah Almighty reward you.
Well, firstly, I've heard this for the very first time. And secondly, I've never heard from the scholars anything as such, and neither have I read it anywhere. And it doesn't make sense either that uncle and nephew should not stand together. There are thousands of people who become victim of lightning globally and suffer its consequences. But I've never heard or read that this happened because uncle and nephew were standing together. This is just a public notion, nothing else. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
My question in the court of my sheikh is that if due to hardships and difficulties, someone says that this world is useless, this world is very bad, one should depart this world soon, is there any shari'i issue in these words? Please guide us in this regard and make dua for our end on iman.
This world is not good anyways. It's not good at all, it's been severely condemned. However, being tired of worldly difficulties and desiring death is unlawful, is impermissible.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
It is at times seen that even after the azan is called out, some people stay where they are and wait for the jama'at timing. Then, when there are a few minutes left in jama'at, they do their wudu and leave for the masjid. Would this practice of theirs be deemed as being lazy in salah? The warnings given in the Quran and hadith for being lazy in salah, would they apply to them as well? And what should our conduct be in relation to salah? Should we reach the masjid at the time of jama'at, or should we start preparing for salah straight after the azan and attend the masjid? Please guide us in this regard.
Allah Allah. Jamaat is wajib. Now, it is not a condition for a person to reach the masjid as soon as he hears azan. It doesn't seem appropriate to apply the admonition of being lazy in salah upon a person over here because it is jamaat that is wajib upon a person, which he should attend to, ensuring that he reaches in good time to get the jamaat. And as for what should a person do? In this regard, one should follow the noble elders. There are such accounts of noble elders as well that they would come to the masjid even before the azan. And they would be passionate for the jamaat, first row and takbir-e-ula. But gradually people started to distance away and now the situation is very strange. The latter scholars now issued tasweeb, meaning a reminder after the azan. You don't need to give any reminders for food, not at all. Everyone remembers the time of eating and they arrive at the dining mat before its due time. But, unfortunately for Salah, they need to be reminded. And this has also become very old now that the Fuqaha gave permission for the tasweeb so that people can remember that they are to go to the masjid. The Global Madani Markaz Faizan-e-Madina is massive, it's very big. Some people over here be lazy. What can we complain about those who are in the marketplaces? Over here as well, we have hundreds of people working in offices. Even for them, we started tasweeb, and it's been quite some time since we started this reminder so that they can be reminded that it's time for salah. So go to the masjid now. Overall, there's so much laziness observed in this. Whether it is a religious person or a non-religious person, but keep in mind that it is not that laziness which is deemed as impermissible. That is the one in which a person misses his jamaat, or ma'azallah, he misses the whole salah altogether. This laziness is to be held account for. And as for those who arrive just in time and get the whole jamaat, their wajib is fulfilled. We cannot apply the other laziness upon them.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
I would like to request Amir of Ahl-Sunnah to mention any wazifa for the strength of child's memory.
If a child can read it himself, then he should. Otherwise, any other person like mother or father may do this. This should be recited at night before going bed. At night before going to bed, recite Ya Zal Jalali wal Ikram 3 times and blow on 3 almonds. Now make the child eat 1 almond before going to bed. The second one, make the child eat on an empty stomach before breakfast. And third one in the afternoon. So perform this action for 21 days. Inshallah, this will strengthen the memory of the child. If the child can read it himself, he can do so himself as well. And if the child cannot read it himself, then anyone from his parents or any of his relatives or elder siblings can read it for the child.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Can a student present a gift to his teacher? What is Islamic guidance in this regard?
There are issues in it. Now, for example, a student is weak in his studies, or he is a bit naughty, and he's kept good relations with the teacher, or serves the teacher every now and then, or gives him a gift, or invites him specially so that at the time of exams, the teacher will be a bit regardful of him, or gives him undue favor, then this is bribe. In general, this is referred to as mazinnai tohmat, meaning an occasion to be blamed for. So it is not permissible for a teacher to accept it, and giving it also is not permissible at such occasions. Even to the extent that if the father is the judge, the son will anyhow serve the father. But if the father, the judge, is dealing with a case that involves his son, then in this case, the son will not give a gift to his father, as this could become mazinnai tohmat, as in he might be giving a gift so that his father gives verdict in his favor. So it depends on the situation. So if their relation with the student from beforehand, such as giving and taking gifts, inviting each other, then it's fine if this practice continues, provided that there's no such occasion nor is there any such intention. And now let's say if a person wasn't a student from before and did used to invite the teacher then as well, but since he's become a student, he's increased the food dishes, the meal has been made more lavish, Like before, there used to be only one ordinary dish, but now there's starters of roast and fried chicken as well, and then there are other dishes in addition to it. Then this situation can also become mazinnat tohmat. In the same way, let's say that he did not used to give very expensive gifts beforehand, but now he's giving more expensive gifts. This also can fall in the same category, but there is some scope in this. For example, if he was poor first, and now he's become rich, that's why he's giving expensive gifts, or treats him to lavish foods, etc., then there is some scope in this. You will find quite a lot of detail regarding this in the first volume of Faizan-e-Sunnat. When does a gift become bribe? This is a chapter of Sahih Bukhari, that when does a gift become bribe? One faith enlightening account of Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiyallahu anh has also been mentioned in it, that once he radiyallahu anh went somewhere and there were some young boys over there. The young boys standing over there were standing there with a tray of apple in their hands. They presented it to him, which he refused to accept. So someone said to him, "Your Honor, isn't accepting gift a sunnah?" He replied that definitely it is a sunnah, but these very gifts are a bribe. Because he radiallahu anhu was the ruler, isn't it? Umar bin Abdul Aziz. So he said that what they are giving me is not a gift but bribe. Why are we overly nice to law enforcing authorities? It is so they can be regardful to us. Why do we especially invite an officer of higher post? We all know the reason. Why do we invite police officers? Why do we, every now and then on regular basis, keep giving them gifts on different occasions and be overly nice to them? You know the reason, and so do they, that you're not giving it to him, but to his designation. Even he knows that the day he loses his power, you will even change your path by looking at him. Isn't it? So law enforcing authorities should make sure that they don't take any kind of favor from anyone. Honestly, not even a small one, as this generally is bribe. Just take it this way, that if he didn't hold the designation, would you still offer him gifts? Or be overly nice to him? Or would you still invite him for a meal? You will see that people with designations have so many invitations. Ministers are invited everywhere. When a person becomes a minister or an MP, he hardly finds any free time, because now he's attained fame. What fame do you think this is? This is not fame, but disgrace. All these favors that you are enjoying, people are doing so that they can have their unlawful and illegal matters sorted through you. No one is sincere to you. If you want to test this, then leave your post and then see who invites you. May Allah instill in the heart what I said. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Brother Uthman is asking one question, that what sort of friends one should make in this day and age.
In questions, the term nowadays is mentioned quite a lot. It is the same Islam. The matters of the grave are the same. As for a friend, he should be such that by looking at whom one remembers Allah. If we forget Allah Almighty, i.e. we are heedless towards salah or pious deeds, then our friend should remind us of it. Our friend should help us towards building our hereafter. If we go towards a sin, then our friend should stop us. So this is how a friend should be, and these guidelines are forever. From the very first day till the establishment of Judgment Day, there's no restriction of only today's day and age in it. A friend should bring you closer to Allah. What's the point of a friend who distances you from Allah? These kind of friends are quite common nowadays. They use abusive language, they talk about film dialogues, they talk about music and songs and all this kind of stuff. In addition to this, they would keep backbiting, and you will see that their gatherings are fully engrossed in useless conversations. So instead of having such kind of friends who distance you from Allah, it is better for a person to stay alone. It is difficult for a person to return sin-free after attending such friends' gatherings. In fact, one will be influenced by them. A suhbatu mu'assira. Company has an effect. A person will also fall into sins then. And nowadays, majority of gatherings around you, you will see, are like this. May Allah grant us well-being and good friends, those who are prophetic devotees, Sharia compliant, salah offering, adherent to the sunnahs, those with correct beliefs, those who are Sunni. Those who are ardent devotees of Sahaba and Ahlul Bayt and sincere devotees of the Awliya, those who sacrifice their life upon Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahimahullah, those who devotionally love Ghawsul Azam rahmatullah alayhi, that's how friends should be. It is mentioned in Fatawa Razaviyah volume 11, page number 374, Raza Foundation Lahore. The one who befriends and loves the people of corrupt beliefs, the noor of Iman is taken away from that very individual, meaning that the light of faith is removed from him. And this is again a common practice in our society nowadays. And then Satan takes over them and they speak Satan's words. They say things like, I'm very firm in my beliefs, nothing will happen to me, don't worry about me. You'll be led into the hellfire and you wouldn't even realize it. You cannot have such certainty even on yourself. Such kind of overconfidence can be destructive for yourself. Only rely upon Allah that my Lord will save me. Try yourself to remain safe. If someone says that nothing will happen to me and then places his hand in fire, then of course his hand will burn. Honestly speaking, I'm telling you that placing your hand inside fire is not as dangerous. As dangerous is the friendship of a person of corrupt beliefs. Because when you place your hand in fire, maximum your hand will get burnt. And if you have a friend with corrupt beliefs, then there's a risk of your iman being snatched away. In this case, one will have to burn in the fire of hell forever. Maulana Jami Rahmatullah Alayh says, stay away from a bad companion, a bad friend, because a bad friend is more dangerous and harmful than even a poisonous snake. It is because a poisonous snake only harms and causes pain to the body, whereas a bad companion destroys one's life as well as faith, meaning Iman. It is mentioned in Maratul Manajih that generally a person adopts the character and traits of his friend, at times even his religion. Therefore, befriend good people so that you also become good. A righteous and pious person is anyhow obeying Allah Almighty and His Messenger. But in addition, he also remains safe from ambiguous matters. He has so much taqwa in him. Therefore, one should choose his friend to be the best of the best. Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. One will be raised with the one whom he loves.
As you've guided us regarding bad company and also talked about its severe bad consequences, it can surely cause destruction. Nowadays, new terminologies are being introduced about friendships, like e-friendships. Once I went to an Islamic brother's house, he told me that his children had started going to many towns. I was surprised and I asked, who has that much time today? He said, the towns I'm talking about are on YouTube, on Facebook. These towns are available on social platforms. Such friendship with non-mahram, strange women, with non-Muslims, are these aforementioned examples of friendships are also considered as a bad friendship which you've described earlier?
Apparently, this also seems to be a friendship. It's not that a friend will only be considered a friend only if you can physically see him. Otherwise, a blind person will not have any friend at all, even if he has loyal friends. So there are many kinds of friendships. It is possible to befriend anyone from anywhere in the world through chatting apps and many other social media platforms that are available to people. The technology has advanced so much. You can make friends through social media as well before it would happen through phones. And even before that was through letters. And I think it was given a particular name as well. So all such friendships are very dangerous. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Madani muzakara. Madani muzakara.